a real perm shear, but we'll dabble in Amalek a little bit. We'll try to understand. You have to understand that Mitzrayim, getting out of Mitzrayim, which we're still finishing up. In other words, in terms of the Parshios, we're still finishing it up. We just left Mitzrayim. We got the Torah this past Shabbos. But getting out of Mitzrayim, both in terms of the Torah, is an ongoing process. And really, in terms of history, we're still on a certain level in Mitzrayim. Medrash says that every Golus is called Mitzrayim. So the fact that we're in Washington Heights and not Yerushalayim, the fact that we don't have a base in Mikdash, means that we're still in Mitzrayim. We're still in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the root of all Golus. It's the shorish of all exile experiences. Okay, and another way to say, you know, this other all-encompassing evil that kind of follows us around throughout history is called Amalek. Right? Amalek is synonymous with any type of evil entity or any evil philosophy. So, in a certain sense, and again, I don't want to go deep into it now, Mitzrayim is sort of the beginning of all Jewish enslavement, and Amalek is sort of the end. We have to eradicate Amalek, we have to uproot negativity and evil and destructive forces from the world. Again, Amalek is a biological people, but Amalek is also an idea. So, in a certain sense, Mitzrayim and Amalek are two sides of one coin. Again, I'm being marambis to a lot of things that I don't really want to go into right now, but maybe we'll get to at some point later. Okay, so let's go back to the first pasuk of the parsha from this past Shabbos. Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosin Moshe is kol asher osa lokim lemoshe liyisrael amo ki hotzi Hashem es Yisrael mitzrayim. The pasuk says the Yisro heard about all the wondrous things that Hashem did for Moshe and the Jewish people, that He took us out of Mitzrayim. And Rashi, in a strange comment, and all the Mefarshim are trying to figure out what's the secret behind this Rashi. Rashi says in source number 2, Vayishma Yisro, Ma Shmua Shama Uva. What did Yisro hear that caused him to join the Jewish people? Now, however, why are the Mefarshim, why do they all raise their hand when Rashi asks that question? Yes?
Because the Pasuk says all that.
The Pasuk says, exactly. The Pasuk says Yisro heard everything that happened to the Jewish people. So what are you asking? Ma Shmua Shama, what did he hear? So as we already learned somewhat yesterday in that piece in the Siva Shalom, the key word is what? Mashmua Shama Uva. In other words, what more than anything moved Yisro to come and to join the Jewish people? Of all the things that happened, Dam, Tzardeya, Kinim, Arov, so many things, Kriyas Yamsuf, the battle against Amalek, what moved Yisro to join the Jewish people? And Rashi says, it's a Medrash, it's a Gemara in Zevachim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Melchemes Amalek. Two things. He heard about the splitting of the sea, and he heard about Melchemes Amalek, and he decided to join the Jewish people. So the question, and we're going to begin today's shiur with a number of questions. Question number one, right, what was it in particular about those two things that inspired Yisro? Okay, question number one. However, question number two. And when you hear this question, it really jumps out at you. It's one of these things that you don't pay attention to until you notice it. So Yisro joins the Jewish people. Source number three, Vayisaper Moshe lechosno es kol asher asa Hashem leparo lemitzrayim. Moshe recounts, he goes over the whole story with all the details. Pasuk tes, Vayichad Yisrael. Yisro is all excited about all the good news. And then Pasuk Yod, in the third line, Vayomer Yisro. And here's Yisro's response. Yisro responds, Baruch Hashem. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Yisro says, Baruch Hashem, Asher hitzil eschem miyad Mitzrayim umiyad paro, Asher hitzil es ha'am mitachas yad Mitzrayim. Chevra, what's with all these yadayim? Miyad Mitzrayim, miyad paro, yad Mitzrayim. Three times in the pasuk, Yisro highlights the fact that we were saved from the hand of Egypt, the hand of paro, the hand of Mitzrayim. We were taken out mitachas yad Mitzrayim. We'll come back to that word mitachas. I'm just realizing now how significant it is. I didn't realize it until just now. But question number two is, what's with all these yadayim? Three times in one pasuk, miyad Mitzrayim, miyad paro, yad Mitzrayim. What's this emphasis on saving us from Mitzrayim? Asher hitzil es ha'am mitachas Mitzrayim. Mitachas yad Mitzrayim. What's the yad Mitzrayim? What's the yad paro? Okay, so that's question number two. Question number three, Again, we already touched on it a little bit last week in the Ramban Shir, but it's a question that many, many Rishonim are curious about. The first thing that Hashem ever said to us at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, in source number 4, I am Hashem, your God, Asher Etzeisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mi'beis Avad. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim from the house of captivity. And the question that bothers the Rishonim is, why does Hashem introduce himself as what? As God who took us out of Mitzrayim, why doesn't he introduce himself as creator of the world? Responsible for everything. Now again, you know some of the answers to that question. And you understand that Hashem is speaking in context to the Jewish people. He's explaining why, in particular, as Jews we have a responsibility to worship him, not just as humans. But question number 3 is, why does Hashem focus on taking us out, freeing us? Me'eretz Mitzrayim, mi'beis avadim. Again, this is God's, you know, moment to define himself as creator of the world, responsible for all of existence. Why does Hashem, again, the Rishonim ask this question, Ramban alludes to it, but other Rishonim deal with it more explicitly. Why doesn't Hashem say, I am Hashem who created you? Question number 3. And Chavra, finally, question number 4, very, very interesting. And this is one of these types of Torah that you could really, b'derech avoda, you could take it with you now and forever. Okay, if you lock this one in, if you try to really internalize it, you could use it on a daily basis. And that is, every morning, the first bracha that a Jew makes in the morning is the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yirchatz Yadav V'yavarech Al Netilas Yadayim. Now again, exactly how to do that is a good question. You can't make a bracha if you have to go to the bathroom. Okay, so whatever one's morning routine is, and again, we should maybe talk about it another time, exactly what the best way to do it is. But the bottom line is, the first bracha, not the first thing you say, Moda'ani is the first thing a Jew is supposed to say. But the first bracha is the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim. Okay, but let me tell you what the question is. I mean, I want to know, part of the question is, why is that the first bracha of a Jew? But more than that, what do the words even mean? Al Netilas Yadayim, what do the words mean? So if you look in the Avudraham, and a later Rishon, who wrote a commentary on the Siddur. So the Avudraham writes in source number 6, Va'omer al netilas yadayim, lashon netilahu. What do you think the word means? What's al netilas yadayim?
Lifting.
You think netila means lifting?
Lula.
Okay, taking. All right. I usually think of netila as like taking, right? Taking or lifting. So the Avudraham says, well, first of all, he writes, litol minakli, right? Since you need to what? You need to use a kli, litol minakli, to take from a kli. You have to pour the water from a vessel. Va'akli shemo natla, the lashon Talmud. Interesting. So one opinion says, V'Avudraham, that netilas is a lashon of the vessel itself. The vessel in Aramaic is called the natla. Okay, interesting. But as many of you said, v'yesh mefarshim, in the second line, Shehu lashon hagba. Netila means lifting. Al netilas yadayim, lifting the hands. Just look for a second at the pasuk in source number 7. This is the last pasuk in the Haftorah for Parshas Nitzavim. Pasuk in Yeshaya. Beautiful pasuk. Hashem says, Bechol tzarasam lo tzar. In all of their suffering, to him is suffering. Hashem feels our pain. Umalach panav hoshiyam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the malach before us to save us. Ba'avaso vechemlaso hu ge'alam. Hashem, in his love and compassion, he redeems us. How does the pasuk end? Vayinatleim vayinaseim kol yemei olam. And Hashem, what? Lifts us up. Vayinaseim, and he carries us, he bears us. All of the days of the world. It's a very beautiful pasuk of Hashem's care and concern and protection of the Jewish people. Okay, so says the Avudraham, going back to source number 6, it could be that the word, what, netila, is from this pasuk, right? V'yinatleim v'yinasim kol yimei olam. And he quotes the Gemara in Sota, that when a person washes their hands, you're supposed to lift your hands so that the water, you know, doesn't drip back down onto a part of your arm that's not pure, and then it goes back onto the hand, and the tummy water goes back onto you, so you're supposed to wash and keep your hands up so that the hands stay pure. Okay, again, very technical, very complex in terms of hilchos netilas yadayim. But the bottom line is, netila is a lashon of lifting the hands. So if that's true, So our fourth and final question, and we'll review the questions in a second for those who just joined us, right? Why is it that the first bracha every day that a Jew makes is upon lifting the hands? Al netilas yadayim. That's how a Jew starts his day. My first bracha is al netilas yadayim, upon lifting my hands. Well, what is that? Why is that the starting point of my avodas Hashem? Okay, so chaver, to review the questions. Question number one was what? Question number one is, if Yisro heard everything that happened in Mitzrayim, so why does Rashi say, what did he hear? And why was Yisro particularly moved by Kriyas Yamsov and Melchames Amalek? Why was that the thing that got him so inspired? Question number two, why does Yisro, when he praises Hashem for saving the Jewish people, he says the word Yad three times, Yad Mitzrayim, Yad Paro, Yad Mitzrayim. What's with all these Yadayim? Question number three, why does Hashem say, I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim? Why doesn't Hashem focus on what in theory is a bigger accomplishment, which is I am Hashem who created the world? Hashem wants to really introduce himself, so tell us who you really are. And question number four, right, what is this inyan that I start every morning with a bracha upon raising my hands? Al netilas yadayim. Okay? Sounds good?
Yeah.
All right. Good. So, Chaver, we know about yadayim. And again, I'm not going to go openly into Purim now, but obviously our enemy on Purim is Amalek. And Amalek is, again, that koach of negativity, of evil that needs to be uprooted in order to bring the gula. That's what we learn from the end of Parshas B'Shalach. Hashem's name and his throne will not be complete. The gula, full expression, revelation of Hashem, cannot exist in the world until Amalek is eradicated. So, Chaver, what do we know about Amalek? Well, we know that when we went to fight Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu was very busy with his hands. Pasuk says in source number 8, V'haya ka'asher yarim Moshe yado. Depending on how Moshe positioned his hands, that was indicative of the success. When Moshe raised his hands, ka'asher yarim Moshe yado, v'gavar Yisrael. And we won. Moshe is standing there, and the Pasuk says Moshe's hands are getting heavy, and Aaron and Hur trying to keep Moshe's hands up. They're trying to, right? They're trying to make sure that Moshe's hands don't collapse. Interesting. Just trying to remember something. Aaron, Moshe, Hur, Hashem. Forget how it goes. Who's helping Moshe to keep his hands up? Aaron, right? Moshe himself, Hur, and Hashem. And I'm not saying it right. There's a remez. I forget how it goes. I mean, I could say it, but you're going to say that, is that a real thing? And I'm going to have to try to explain it. So basically, you could say Aaron, Moshe, Hur, and Hashem. Now, for Hashem, I'm using the letter Hey. So you'll say, what? Since when do we use the letter Hey for Hashem? Like Hashem? That just means the name. But sometimes the letter Hey is Hashem. The Vilna Gaon talks about it. It's interesting. Most of the time, you would think, like when people say, like, oh, there's a remez, like Moshe backwards is Hashem. Like, that's not a thing. But maybe it is a thing. Maybe Hashem, maybe the name Hashem, right? Maybe the letter He is the letter of Hashem. So Aaron, Moshe, Chor, Hashem spells out what? Look at the Rashi Tevos. Aaron, Moshe, Chor, and Hashem. Emcha, right? That's what we're supposed to do in Amalek, right? Emcha. Hashem says, Emcha is Zecher Amalek. Right, I will erase, I will eradicate Amalek. So Aaron, Moshe, Chor, and Hashem is Emcha, is to erase Amalek. What's the gematria of Emcha?
54.
54. How many times does Haman's name appear in the Megillah?
54.
54. Okay, fine, good. Good. Very good. What does it say? What does it say in when you see, I can't control myself. What does it say? What does it say when Yaakov davens? He's fighting Esav. Esav, of course, being the root of Amalek. Right? Yaakov says, "Hatzileni na miyad achi." Hatzileni na miyad achi, miyad Esav. Okay. So the Baal HaTurim says, "Hatzileni na miyad" is Rashi Tevos. "Hatzileni na miyad" is Rashi Tevos. Haman. Right. What's the gematria of miyad? Save me miyad, achi. What's miyad? 54. Okay? All right. There, good. We found another yad. So there's a lot of yadayim going on. We have to find out what the story is with these yadayim. So it says, V'hayakasher yarim Moshe yadu. When Moshe raises his hands, the Jewish people win the battle. V'kasher yaniach yado, but when Moshe's hands are at rest, v'gavar amalek. When Moshe's hands are not lifted, when they're not active, when they're not raised in prayer, right? So then amalek wins. So the Mishnah tells us at the end of the third parak of Rosh Hashanah, what is this? When Moshe's hands are up, so then we win, and Moshe's hands are down, so we lose. Like, well, how does that work? What's that about? It says the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, V'haya kasher yari Moshe yado v'gavar Yisrael. It's an interesting Mishnah. Mishnah says, V'chi yadav shal Moshe osos mochama o shovros mochama. Do the hands of Moshe win wars or lose wars? I mean, what is this inyan? Moshe's, if his hands are up, then they win. If the hands are down, right? Did Moshe has magic powers in his hands? What does that mean? The Mishnah says, no, you have to understand. What does hands up and hands down mean? Says the Mishnah. Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, end of the third parak. When the Jewish people, it's not just Moshe's hands up, when the Jewish people have their eyes turned towards the heavens, when the Jewish eyes are lifted up, when the Jewish heart is turning towards Hashem for success, then but when a Jew looks down, when a Jew doesn't raise his eyes to the Shemayim, when he doesn't turn his heart to Shemayim, so hands up and hands down, right, means that the Jewish people, are they reaching for Hashem, or are they trying maybe to win the battle on their own? Okay, that's what hands up and hands down mean. But what do you see? You see that hands, again, just like Yisrael praised Hashem for saving us, Miyad Mitzrayim, Miyad Paro, right, Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim, over here again, everything depends on the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. And to go even one step further by Amalek, we know that when Amalek attacked the Jewish people, Chazal used an interesting expression. Where were we attacked by Amalek? In a place called? Refidim. Says the Medrash, what's Refidim? So one opinion in the Medrash and the Gemara says, why is it called Refidim? I love this Gemara. Why is it called Refidim? You know why? Because that was the name of the place. The Gemara says. One opinion is like, why is it called? Why is it called Washington Heights? Because that's what it's called. I don't know. All right. The pnimius of it is no. It's the heights. It's the height. It's namish. Kasher yarim moishes yado. Right. So one opinion in the Gemara is why is it called Refidim? Refidim Shema because Refidim was its name. Acherim omrim, but the Medrash says another pshat. Ein Refidim ela sherafu yadehem min haTorah. That the Amalekim fought against us in Refidim. Refidim is a lashon of rafu, that they weakened our hands from the Torah. What does that mean, our hands from the Torah? They weakened our minds from the Torah, our hearts from the Torah. They weakened us from Torah. Why do you have to mention Yadayim? What's with all the Yadayim? U'lefichach Amalek ba'aleim. Therefore, Amalek attacked them. What's this inyan of Yadayim by Mitzrayim, by Amalek? And again, like I told you, Mitzrayim and Amalek seem to be the main forces of opposition to Jewish success. Mitzrayim tried to block us from becoming a nation. Amalek tried to block us from Kabbalah Satorah. Mitzrayim is the root of Galus. Amalek is this lingering evil in the world that needs to be uprooted to bring Mashiach. It's the bookends of all negativity. Yeah?
In context, isn't this right after... I'd be wrong, but this is... Isn't this right after we had some level of set...
Again, they say Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu amayim. They're questioning Hashem, and then Vayavu Amalek. Right.
So
there was a pagam and amuna, but it's really a cause and effect. Right? I mean, it's the fact that Amalek is right around the corner that they started to have questions in amuna. Right. It's not that they questioned. I mean, yes, they questioned Hashem, and that made them susceptible to the attack of Amalek. But also because Amalek was coming. When you're in a negative place, the hashpa is felt. Before Amalek even arrived, the Jews are already, their emunah is getting shaky. Okay? Nachum, fine. You wanted to say something before? On the Mishnah?
If we were talking about like hands, I was just thinking, like, I think we're in, like, correct me if I'm wrong, like, just the idea of hands, like, what allows, like, things to happen.
Right, Ahasuerus extending his hands, yeah. There's an amazing comment that the Talmud Yerushalmi says about Purim. And it's almost really, it's one of the most like defining statements in Chazal about Purim. Very interesting. It says, on Purim, kol ha-poshet yad, noisnin lo. usually when a person comes and asks for tzedakah, so you have a right to say, you know, how do I know you're legit? Right? So maybe the person will explain to you why they're legit, or the person will you know, show you a tudah saying, no, this is my, you know, I've been checked out by this tzedakah organization, right? You're allowed, a person's allowed to do their due diligence to make sure that they give money to reputable organizations. Very important. Right? But on Purim, the Yerushalmi says, Kol HaPoshet Yad, anyone who sticks out their hand, nice and let you give him. Which is also, however, one of the fundamentals of you know, the spiritual nature of Purim, right? It's a day of such tefillah because it's a day where we can almost force HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give us. Kol HaPoshet Yad, nice and Hashem, I demand of you to give me. One of the guys in the shir years ago came to my house on Purim, and he was collecting to go to Uman by Rosh Hashanah. So we had spoken a lot that year about Kol HaPoshet Yad Noisala. So he kept hitting everyone up. He's like, Kol HaPoshet Yad Noisala. The guy collected like, I don't know, a couple hundred bucks in my house, you know? Every time he stuck out his hand, you have to give him. Kol HaPoshet Yad Noisala. All right, so you got to give. You got to give generously. Okay, so don't abuse it, but Kol HaPoshet. So there's this Indian of Poshet Yad on Purim, right? Like Menachem Ephraim saying, when Ahasuerus extends his hand with the scepter towards Esther, that's a critical moment in the Megillah. There's this notion of extending a hand. Again, you see it here with Amalek, right? Moshe's hands, if they're down, then they're not expanded. When Moshe raises his hands, right? Rafu yadehim in a Torah means they made our hands not extended. Right? Purim is a day for trying to stretch, to reach a little farther, to extend our hands. One of the reasons, by the way, tzaddikim say, and again, it's part of a longer, there's a story that goes with it, but tzaddikim say one of the reasons that we get drunk on Purim is it's almost Hashem's way of like trying to get us not to ask for too many things. Hashem wants us to like, you know, almost miss the day. Because if you pressure Hashem on Purim, you get it. If you put the pressure on Hashem on Purim, you get it. So Hashem tries to get us to lose our das a little bit so that we don't, you know, so we don't empty out the bank. Hashem has plenty to give us. But understand that even, you know, in that state of ad lo yada, to be able to daven and to ask is a chashuv thing. Yeah.
I thought of an analogy for this for like this concept of Amalek pushing us when we're already a little bit down. It's kind of like when someone's tying their shoe and they're already close to the floor, and then it all takes like a little push and the guy's
right
on the ground.
Right. Once
it's
right
already like negative, he's already like kind of
that's right
on the ground, and then you just get a little push.
Once you're falling, right. That's right. That's why it says by Haman, it says nafol tipol. Right, it says that he, you know, when he like falls onto Esther in that scene at the end, right? So it's like a double lashon of nefila. Right? Once a person's falling, so it's very easy to push them down. It's usually what a malik does to us, right? A malik exploits the weaklings. That's what the pasuk says. That's a nechashalim. A malik dafka targets people who are already slipping to give them the final push, so to speak. Yeah, b'sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. Right, we have the strength to pick ourselves back up. Okay, so chaver, to answer all of these questions, again, all these yadayim. Right. And again, we could ask this, you know, as a fifth question if you want. Right? What's with all these additional yadayim by Amalek? Or we could see this as beginning to start to answer our questions. So the following yesod will help us to answer the whole thing, and it's based on a chassam sofer. In Mitzrayim, it wasn't just about having us work so that they could reap the benefits of our productivity. Because in fact, Mitzrayim made us do a lot of really worthless labor. Mitzrayim wanted to crush, more than anything else, they wanted to manipulate and crush the Jewish spirit. They almost wanted us, as we were emerging in the world, as this incredible force, which is going to set the tone for humanity, and to be Klal Yisrael, Amalek wants to convince us, Mitzrayim wants to convince us, the attitude of both of those evil empires is that, what? You're not so chashuv. You're not so important. Like we spoke about yesterday, Leit Tzamis. You know, you don't really matter. What did they do to us in Mitzrayim? They wanted us to feel that our avoda, now you're starting to understand the title of today's shir, that our avoda is worthless. That nothing a Jew does in this world matters. They wanted us to feel totally worthless, both in terms of our olam haza productivity, and even more so, olam haba. So for example, what type of building did they have us do in Mitzrayim? These were shalom. They had the men do the women's work, the women do the men's work. Power would never let anyone finish the job. If you were about to complete a work project, power would switch you to a new task. So you never had a sense of sipuka nefesh of what? I ever finished anything. Never felt that sense of accomplishment. More than that, where were we building? Pisom and Ramses. Says the Gemara in Sota, the last source on side one of the page. As Pisom ve'es Ramses. Again, maybe there were names of places in Mitzrayim. Could be. But Rav and Shmuel. Why were they called Pisom and Ramses? Rav and Shmuel each have an opinion that one of those names is an actual name. The other one is a description. Chad Amar Pisom Shema. One says that really the name of the place was Pisom. Ve'lama nikra Shema Ramses. And why was it called, right, by the name Ramses? Sherishon Rishon Misroises. Because every step you took, piece by piece, step by step, Misroises, it crumbled. Every time you tried to build something, it would fall down. You finally got, you know, the first piece into place, you started to put the second piece up, and the first one fell back down. So the incredible frustration, right, the futility of the work of a Jew in Mitzrayim was so emotionally breaking. To feel that everything I try to do doesn't matter. V'chad Amar, and the other one says, either Rav or Shmuel, the other one says, Ramses Shema, really Ramses was its name. V'lama nikra Shema, Pisom, and why was it called Pisom? Sherishon Rishon Pisom Bolo. That Paro had them built in a place where what? Where Rishon, piece by piece, step by step, Pisom, the opening of the Tahom, of the depths, Bolo, would swallow it up. They were building in an area where what? Where the ground wasn't stable. And every time they would build, it would start to, again, sink into the sand. And the whole thing would fall apart. So in other words, this was part of Paro's mental manipulation of the Jewish people. That we should feel that nothing that we do actually is significant. And however, that is so antithetical to what Hashem wants from us as His partners in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Jew, I need you to know that everything you do is significant. Your impact, your behavior is uber significant in this world. The behaviors of a Jew in this world, you have to be, I'm not talking mystical at all, I'm talking practical. You have to be a light unto the world. Your decency, your ethics, your morality has to show the world what it means to be a mensch, to be a person, pasha. Your actions matter more. When a Jew is dishonest in his business practices, it matters more. It matters more. They're gonna go after you. And they should, because the Chilul Hashem is so great, because you are supposed to be a leader in the world. And more than that, not just in this world. The actions of a Jew matter in this world and in the world beyond this world. That the Masei Yadayim, your actions, right? Your handiwork, your actions. Yadayim represent what? My actions in the world. The things that I do. Paro wants us to think that these hands can't accomplish anything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's the opposite of what I want you to believe. I want you to believe that your mitzvos matter. I want you to believe your averos also matter. Mitzrayim says, we want you to believe that nothing matters. Not your mitzvos, not your veros, not your actions in this world, not your actions in the next world. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to take you out of Mitzrayim. And I want to free you. And Chavra, listen to what the Chassam Sofer says. This is gorgeous. The top source on the second side of the page. The last pasuk in Parsha Shlach. What we say every day as part of our Kriya Shema. In the paragraph of Vayomer. Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Asher hotzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim lios lachem le'lokim ani Hashem Elokeich. Pashup Shat, I took you out of Mitzrayim to be your God. I am Hashem your God. Says the Chassam Sofer. Lios lachem le'lokim. What do you need that for? It already says ani Hashem Elokeich. I am Hashem your God. What's the lios lachem le'lokim? Ready for this? Such a strong heart. Says the Chassam Sofer. I took you out of Mitzrayim, a place where they tried to convince you that you don't matter. And in doing so, lios lachem, I wanted to make you into Elokim. What does that mean? I wanted you to realize what it means to be created B'Tselem Elokim. However, what does it mean to be created B'Tselem Elokim? Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim, and I want you to know you have godly powers. Lios lachem le'lokim. You have kochos elokim. You have godly powers. That's the part. What does the name Elokim mean? So the Shulchan Aruch tells us. When you say a bracha, okay, Simon Hay in the fifth chapter of the Shulchan Aruch, source 13, Yechavin bebrachos perish hamilos. When you say a bracha, you should try to pay attention to what you're saying. Kishiyazkir Hashem Yechavin perish kriyaso ba'adnus shu adonakol. First of all, when you say Hashem's name, you should pay attention to the way you're pronouncing it, right? Ado, right? Adnos, which means that Hashem is the Adon HaKol, the master of all. That's one thing that Baruch Ata Ado, you should think Hashem is the Adon HaKol, the master of all. Furthermore, Yechavin b'chsivaso b'yudhei, you should also contemplate the way that Hashem's name is written, Yudke Vavke, which is Haya Hove V'yiyah, that Hashem was and is and will forever be. That's the name Yudke Vavke. How you say it, Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, how it's written, Yudke Vavke. What about Elohim? Says the Shulchan Aruch, where it's bolded, of his Kiro Elohim. Every time you say Elohim, you should think, Yechavin, Shehu Takif, that Hashem is what? Hashem is strong. At the end of the Megillah, it says, they recorded Kol HaToikef. They wrote down all of the strength. They wrote down the strength. Megillah is called the strength of the Megillah. Yeah. Takif. You should think that Hashem, Elohim, means that God is powerful. Baal HaYecholas. Baal HaYecholas means that what? It's all, he's the master of ability. It's all within his Yachol. It's all possible. Hashem can do whatever he wants. Baal HaKochos Kula. And he has all the power in the world. So, Chevra, what does it mean to be created B'Tselem Elohim? What does it mean that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim? Lios Lachem Le'Elohim. Hashem says, I want you to know that you have incredible powers. B'Tselem Elohim, the fact that we're created B'Tselem Elohim, right, on a simple level, which is not so simple at all, we have godly powers, we have creative powers. Our actions can do something, can make something, right? On a simple level, again, not so simple at all, but on a simple level, what that means is that just like Hashem creates, we can create. You can create life. The fact that a person can bring another person into the world, that a husband and wife could have a child together, three partners in creation. What's the Gemara say? A father, a mother, and Hashem. That's called Tzelem Elohim. That means you have godly powers. That means you have the ability, creative powers. Bala Yecholes, Bala Kochos Kula. So Hashem says the Chassam Sofer, I took you out of Mitzrayim, Lios, Lachem, Le'elokim, because I want you to know that what? That you have godly powers. That your Yadayim, this is a good way to say it, are an extension of my Yadayim. Right? That we're a Shliach, Shluchos Shel Adam Kamoso, exactly. So now let's go back. So we're fighting against Amalek. No? We're fighting against Amalek. And what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing? He's raising up his Yadayim. He's saying, look, these Yadayim have power. Of course, as the Mishnah clarifies, the power of the Yadayim is the fact that we're attaching those Yadayim to Hashem. Exactly. Shluchos Shel Adam Kamoso. We have to be very careful to see that our Yadayim are an extension of Hashem's Yadayim. Right? We have to be very, very careful with that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Right? But when Yisro, let's go back to our first question. What did Yisro hear that inspired him so much? Kriyas Yamsov and Mechemes Amalek. Chavir, you know what the common denominator of Kriyas Yamsov and Mechemes Amalek is? It's that these Yadayim have awesome powers. Mechemes Amalek, we already explained, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Yadayim, if he raises his hands, if he lifts up his hands, which means, again, if we understand the power of our actions, then we can defeat Amalek. Amalek is that cynical part inside of us that says, my actions don't matter. Not for mitzvahs, not for averos. However, what about Kriyas Yamsuf? What caused the sea to split? We have all sorts of traditions, but very simply, let's read a pasuk in Chumash. What does the pasuk say? Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu in Source 14, Va'ata, harei mismatcha unetayas yodcha alayam. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, stretch out your hands. Understand the power of your Yadayim. What do you mean? I'm going to put out my hand and it's going to split the water? Yeah. Uvikayehu. Stretch out your hand, Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, this is Purim Chevra. Call it Peshed Yad. Realize how far your hand can reach. And split the sea. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'sochayam b'yabasha. And that's what Moshe does. Vayet Moshe es yado. A couple of psukim later. Vayet Moshe es yado. Moshe stretches out his hands. Al hayam. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the sea. Vayibaku hamayim. So now going back to question number one, what inspired Yisro? Right? Yisro says, oh, I understand the power of the Jewish people. I want to be a part of this. When I saw Kriyas Yamsuf, when I saw how a Jewish hand, right, can split water, when I saw how Jewish hands raised up to Shemayim can win very, very difficult battles, that's an incredible thing. And now we understand why Yisro, when he arrives, what does he say? Let's go back to our question. Right? What did Yisro say? Vayomer Yisro, Baruch Hashem, back in source number 3. Baruch Hashem, Asher Hitzel Etzcha Miyad Mitzrayim. Miyad Paro. Mitachas Yad Mitzrayim. Mitachas. You know why that word is so significant? You took us out from beneath the hands of Mitzrayim. It doesn't just mean that we were under the whips of the Egyptians. It's the same thing that Amalek tries to do with us. What does Amalek try to do to us in Source 15? Vayomer Hashem Moshe. Don't ever forget what Amalek tried to do to you. K'sov zo zikaron b'sefer. V'sim ba'ozne Yoshua. Ki macho emche ezecher Amalek. Where? We need to eradicate Amalek. Where? Mitachas Hashemayim. From beneath the heavens. You know why? Because Amalek tries to convince us that what? That our actions don't even matter. Tachas Shemayim. Let alone above the heavens. You think your matter. You think your actions matter out there. However, your actions don't even matter down here. Amalek is so cynical, they don't even think that there's cause and effect in this world. You realize how delusional that is? On top of saying, for sure, you think what? You think you stretch out your hand and you're going to split the sea? You think that what? You do a good deed and it matters? Nothing matters. This world is the world of Amalek, the world of Haman, Mikra. It's all happenstance. It's all chance. You think what? Your prayers are going to make someone get better if they're sick? You think your act of kindness is going to save someone from difficulty? It's all, life's too random. There's no Ashkacha Pratis. It's an utter denial of Hashem. Right? So Amalek, you have to eradicate Amalek mitachas Hashemayim. You have to say to Amalek, Amalek, our actions matter, tachas Hashemayim. More than that, our actions matter even me'al Hashemayim, in the world above. Right? That's how we defeat Amalek. So now we're understanding more deeply. What was our third question? Why did Hashem introduce Himself? I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Mitzrayim. We have a whole different understanding of what it means, right, to be taken out of Mitzrayim now. Why doesn't Hashem say, I'm the creator of the world? Because that just talks about Hashem's power. That says Hashem is really powerful. Hashem doesn't want to say, I'm really powerful. Hashem wants to say, you're really powerful with me. We're partners. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and I freed you from the mentality of Mitzrayim Yibes Avadim. I freed you from the slave mentality that your actions don't matter. And like the Chassam Sofer said, Lios Lachem Lelokim. Just like Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Lios Lachem Lelokim. You have godly powers. So now we understand question number 4. Why does a Jew start every morning with the bracha of Al Metilas Yadayim? It's so sweet. Why is that the first bracha I make every morning? The answer is because a Jew needs to know that when I raise my hands to do good in the world, it matters. These yadayim, my sayadam, my actions. My sayadam means my actions. All of my actions are significant. When I stretch out my hand, kol apoyshet yad noistim lo. Right? And that's the takeaway of Purim, the day that we defeat Amalek. That any Jew who stretches out his hands, noistim lo, he accomplishes something. It matters. But however, here's one one disclaimer. We have to be so careful. We have to mamish be so careful that what? That we don't use it in the wrong way and think, oh, look at me, look what I accomplished. Right? Because that gaiva is back in the world of Amalek. That gaiva is back in the world of Paro. Paro is so self-absorbed. Amalek who's so full of themselves. We have to realize that what? That the Yadayim that we have are really just an extension of the Yadayim of Hashem. It's not exactly like it says in Source 18, V'amarta bilvavecha, you could, God forbid, come to say in your heart, Kochi v'otzim yodi, it's my hands. It's not yodi. It's the hands of Hashem. That's what the Mishnah, that's why that Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah is so important. It clarifies. Do the hands of Moshe really win wars or lose wars? No. It's the hands of Moshe as an extension of Klal Yisrael looking to Hashem to bring salvation. That's the word. We have to be so careful. Or like it says in Source 17, right? Hakol kol Yaakov v'yadayim yedei Esav. We don't want to have yadayim yedei Esav. We don't want to go back into the world of Amalek. That feeling that, oh, look at me. Look how powerful I am. It's the recognition. The three Adayim that Yisro comes and praises. Miyad Mitzrayim, Miyad Paro, Yad Mitzrayim. You know what those three Adayim correspond to? The Oiv Yisrael, the Apter Rav. The Oiv Yisrael, a classic Chassidus HaSefer, in Source 16, he says, "V'hinei yadua ki yesh gimel b'chinos hanikras yadayim." There are three yadayim that Hashem also displayed by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem revealed what we call the Yad HaGedoyla, the Yad HaChazaka, and the Yad HaRama. Three yadayim that Hashem used. And the Or Yisrael explains very deep things, very deep secrets. He says the Yad HaGedola, right? Gedula or Gedola sometimes corresponds to Chesed, that's the right hand, so to speak. Yad HaChazaka, that's Midas HaGvura, Midas HaDin, that's the left hand. Then there's the Yad HaRama, the raised hand, which is the middle hand, right, so to speak, whatever that means. The Kav HaYamitza'i, he says it's Rachamim. He says it corresponds to different names of Hashem. He says Yad is the letters of Hashem, Elokeinu Hashem, the three names of Hashem that we say in Shema every day, 14 letters. Okay, all sorts of deep things. But the point is that when Yisrael comes and says, look how Hashem saves us from the Yad Mitzrayim, with the Yad Paro and the Yad Mitzrayim, it corresponds really to Hashem's three Adayim, the Yad HaGadola, the Yad HaChazaka, the Yad HaRama. But then Hashem says, Klal Yisrael, I want to hand those hands off to you. I want you to be my Adayim in the world. Yes, Israel Tzvi.
It's also interesting how Moshe's life really started from the outstretched.
Very interesting. Very interesting. That's right. Very interesting. And Moshe's whole beginning, right, it was a person who had the courage to stretch out hands. Beautiful. And when Bas Paro comes down and she stretches out the hands. That's right. That's right. And in a certain sense, she endows Moshe Rabbeinu with that kalach of outstretched yadayim. Beautiful. Beautiful var. Okay, so we have to be very careful. Yeah. That's right, that's right. Right, we have many times, right, where we see the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, it's not just the outstretched hand by the yam. I mean, that's the ultimate moment of Moshe stretching out his hands. But there's many, right, moments where Moshe's life is defined by outstretched hands. Yeah.
It's his name.
It's his
like,
name.
How it is where we already know who Alec actually is, but we see like intellectual people, like the ideas of Amalek.
So do you come say that anyone who opposes, you know, the goodness of the Jewish people, and who blocks us from carrying out our godly work, is called a Amalek?
But what does that mean actually? Because it's a mitzvah to destroy Amalek.
Yeah, we don't. Hashem concealed it from us because it wouldn't be practical nowadays to. We're not self-governing, so we can't kill the bad guys.
How do you combat them?
We combat the Midah of Amalek. The Midah of Amalek, which is what Rav Huttner calls the Avi Avos HaTuma. The Avi Avos HaTuma, the most Talmudic philosophy, is to think that my actions don't matter. It's to think that a human being is no different than an animal. That's called Amalek. God forbid. That's a destructive attitude. To think that nothing I do matters.
What do you do?
Bring goodness to the world.
Practically, how do you?
By believing in yourself. By stretching out your hands to the world and making a difference. That's how you defeat them. Step by step. To believe that I can build a structure that'll last. Not like a pisom and a ramses that crumbles under my feet every time, you know, through my fingers every time I try to build something. To destroy that cynical attitude that my actions don't mean anything in the world. That's how we defeat Amalek. And that's why every morning a Jew starts by lifting his hands and saying, Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav etzivanu al netilas yadayim. Asher kedishanu b'mitzvosav. You sanctified these hands, Hashem. You empowered these hands. These are an extension of your yadayim. This is not yadayim yidei esav. This is not kochi votzim yadi. I'm a shliach of you, Hashem. Shlucho shal adam kamoso.
And I agree with that, but for us, I'm saying nihilism is very much like spreading fast in the world. It really is. And I feel like the Jewish people kind of just
so
they'll be nihilistic and we'll be meaningful. And I feel like we're not actually combating this. We're kind of just accepting the fact that it's spreading.
Okay, so Moshe Elimelech, you need to think about it. We need to think about it. Every one of us needs to think, are we producing enough goodness to fight the negativity of the world? And if we're not, then we got to work harder. Because the Gula is not going to come until what? Again, Cheret, what does the Pasuk say in B'shalach? Ki Yad al Keska. The hand of Amalek is on the Keska, is on the throne of Hashem. It's the Yadayim, it's all Yadayim. The hand of Amalek is the hand of the Egyptians is just pushing us down. Tachas Shemayim. And we have to know, we have to stretch out our hands. Call the Poshet Yad, Noistimba, to believe that our hands can win this battle. Our outstretched hands can make a difference. Yeah?
This might seem like a crazy question, but if our hands are an extension of God's hands, we're in a sense an extension of Zohar Elohim, what's the need for Malachim?
What's the need for Malachim? What do you mean by that? Why is there no need for Malachim?
Like,
again, our work in this... I don't, again, the work of Malachim, I don't know what the work of malachim is, honestly.
It seems to not that there are shliachs.
Yeah, the word malach even means a shliach, right? But we're also, but we're the primary shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the olam ha-tachton, medira tachtonim. Right? The angels are dealing with who knows what up there. But we've been given this incredible power, shlucha shel adam kamoso. That's a real thing, right? Shlucha shel adam kamoso means that I'm a real extension of the one who's sending me. So much so that when I say harei mikudeshes, right, I have the ability to affect kedusha for someone else. I tell a story that someone was once sent by Rabbi Akiva Eger. A couple of versions of this story, but someone was once sent by Rabbi Akiva Eger to be his shliach for something, to go somewhere on his behalf. He couldn't go somewhere. He sent someone to represent him. It was some simcha. I think it was a wedding, maybe. Anyway, so the fellow stayed at the wedding, you know, mamish, like, till the very, very, very end. Like, literally the last person at the wedding. They said to him, thank you so much. Like, it's really nice that you stayed. But you know, you're probably a busy person. You didn't have to stay literally to the last second. He said, what do you mean? He said, I'm a shliach for Rabbi Akiva Eger. Shlucha shaldim kamosa. That means as long as I carry out the shlichas, I get to be Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he said, of course, I want to be Rabbi Akiva Eger for as long as I can be. Why not? So the more that we see ourselves as genuine shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shlucha shel adam kamoso. So we carry that godly power. That's what it means. B'tzelem elokim. Lios lachem leilokim. Hashem says, I'm giving you kochos elokim. I'm giving you godly power. That's such an unbelievable thing. But I want to just, again, I want to highlight this point. You know, it's in Daf Yomi these days, they just learn Nedarim and Nazir. Right? So in the world of Nedarim and Nazir, there's a concept called Yad. Concept called Yados. Okay, just take a look, for example, at the beginning of Maseches Nazir. Yeah, the Mishnah in Source 19. Kol kinuye nazirus kinazirus. What's a kinoy? What's a kinoy? What's a kinoy? Kinoy is like a nickname. So if a person wants to become a nazir, you could say it very openly, very directly. Right? You could say, I want to be a Nazir. Right? Or you could also use some type of other term which is like a nickname for a Nazir. You could say some other phrase that also implies that I want to be a Nazir. So the Mishnah begins, Kol kinuye naziros. Kinaziros, if you make a declaration, if you use some type of secondary term to accept naziros upon yourself, you become a Nazir. So the Mishnah goes on, Ha'omer ehei. If a person says, I will be, Hareza Nazir. Now what? I will be makes you a Nazir. Or he says, Ahei na'eh, I should be beautiful. Nazir grows out his hair. His long, beautiful locks. Right? So Nazir becomes a Nazir. So the Gemara, at the very beginning of Maseches Nazir, on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, on Daf Beis Amud Beis, is bothered by the following question. You started off by telling me what? That kol kinuye naziros kinaziros, that all nicknames for Naziris is like Naziris, and then you didn't use nicknames. Ahei is not a nickname for I want to be a Nazir. The Gemara says, like, maybe there's, you say Naziach or Paziach, there's all sorts of funny names that somehow imply Nazir. But Ahei is not a kinoy for Naziris. So the Gemara asks in the second line, Pasach b'kinuyin u'mefaresh yados. You started off by saying that what? That all nicknames for Naziris are like Naziris. And then you went on to explain examples of Yados. What does that mean, Yados, in the concept of a Neder or Naziris? What are your Yadayim? Yadayim means what? An extension of. The same way that one would call the handle of a pot a Yad. Right? If I'm making eggs, right? So I need a yad in order to hold the pot, because the pot itself is hot on the fire. Right? So the extension, the handle of it's called a yad. So yados in the context of nazirus means what? That I attach myself as an extension of. Let me show you what that means. Right? Amar Rava, the Gemara says yes. V'itema kedi, and some say kedi, the person's name in the Gemara. Chasure mechzer v'hachi ketani. Here's what the Mishnah is really saying. The Mishnah is missing words, and here's what it's really saying. Kol kinuye naziros kinaziros, v'yados naziros kinaziros. What the Mishnah is really saying is, kinuye naziros is like naziros, and yados of naziros is like naziros. Ve'elu hein yados. And this is an example of yados. What's a yad by a nazir? Ha'omer ahei. Harei ze nazir. So the Gemara says, what? Ha'omer ahei. A person just says, I will be. That means I want to be a nazir. How do you get that? Dilma ahei betanis. Maybe he's saying, ahei, I will be fasting today. Maybe he's saying, being makabel something else upon himself. Amar Shmuel, kegon shahaya nazir over lefanav. Concludes the Gemara. No, if a nazir is walking by and you say, I want to be like that guy, right? I want to be an extension of him. He's a nazir. I want to be like him. That's called what? That's called yados by naziris. So what's a yad? A yad means an extension of. That's what a yad means. So therefore, the only way that our yadayim become empowered is if what? If our yadayim is an extension of the yad ha-gadola, the yad ha-chazaka, the yad ha-rama, then we realize that I'm just a shliach. I'm just a tool. Right? The same way that the handle to the pot is just an extension of the pot, a very useful tool to allow us to use the pot on the hot fire, so too a Jew has to see himself as an extension of Hashem. Okay? Last but not least, the final point. One final point. The famous Gemara in the Sechah Shabbos, Daf Peches Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, V'yis yatzvu b'tach t'sahar, Pasha Pshat, the Jews stood where? Tach t'sahar. Tachas, tach t'sahar, at the foot of the mountain. That's the Pasha Pshat. Says the Gemara, a wild idea, Amr of Avdimi bar Chama bar Chasa, Malami Shekofa Kadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Esahar Kegigas. The Kadosh Baruch Hu put the mountain over their head, like a barrel. Hashem suspended a mountain overhead. Amar Lehem, and Hashem said to Klal Yisrael Matem, Mekadlum HaTorah, if you accept upon yourself the responsibility of Torah, then mutav, then good, then I'll put the mountain down. V'im lav, but if not, Shom Tehei Kuraschem, there you shall be buried. Hashem threatened to drop the mountain on our head. Says Tosfos in the final source, Kaf Aleim Har Kegigas. What's bothering Tosfos? Why is Hashem bullying us into accepting the mountain? Tosfos says, hold on a second. Didn't we already say that we want to accept the Torah? Now, Chevra, raise your hand if you noticed the words Nasa v'nishma this past Shabbos, if you were paying attention when we said Nasa v'nishma this past Shabbos. Trick question, right?
Yeah.
Because it's in this coming week's parasha. It's in Mishpatim. It just says Nasa. It talks about a Shmia, but it doesn't say Nasa v'nishma. Nasa v'nishma is in Mishpatim. It's a question when that statement was made. Was it after Kabbalah Sattar or before Kabbalah Sattar? Some assume it was before Kabbalah Sattar. Tosfos clearly assumes that way, that we already said Nasa v'nishma before we got to the mountain. So what's Tosfos' question? If Hashem says, do you want to take my Torah? And we say, yes, we would love to take your Torah. And then Hashem puts a mountain and says, but if you don't take my Torah, I'm going to kill you. We already said yes. What are you doing? Says Tosfos, va'af al pi. Shekvar ikdimu nasa l'nishma, even though we already said nasa before nishma, shema yihiyu chozrim kishiyiru ha'esha gadola shiatzasa nishmasam. Perhaps we were chozer, perhaps we retreated, we retracted, when we saw the great fires of our Sinai that caused our souls to leave our body. We were very intimidated. Kabbalah Sator was a very scary event. Very intense. Gemara says our neshamas were flying out of our bodies. So it could be that the Jewish people, even though we started off saying we want the Torah, when we actually got there, it was so overwhelming that we chickened out, and Hashem said, well, you're not leaving. And He put a mountain overhead and forced us to finish the job. Okay. But this is strange imagery, this mountain overhead. So I'll just explain it with the following. They tell a story about a fellow who, Nebuch, this guy, a little bit mishuga, a little bit crazy, and he would walk around with his hands raised up all the time. And no one can get him to put his hands down. They took him to therapists, they took him to psychiatrists. No one could get him to put his hands down. They took him to different experts. The guy wouldn't put his hands down. Finally, one psychiatrist says, I think I can work with this guy. I think I can help this guy. So he comes to the fellow, and he says, I see you always keep your hands up. And he sees the guy's very serious. Yes, yes. So the psychiatrist takes his own hands and he picks them up. He goes like this. He raises his hands. And he says to the fellow, okay, you can put your hands down now. And the guy puts his hands down. The fellow puts his hands down. And he looks incredibly relieved. The psychiatrist understood that this fellow, in his mind, was holding up the world. He felt that I'm holding up the world. And if I put my hands down, then what's going to happen? World's going to collapse. So the psychiatrist said, I got it. I'll take over for you. I'll hold up the world. Right? I'll hold up the world, and then you can finally put your hands down and rest a little bit. Guy's crazy. The truth is, he's not so crazy. Right? There's a very deep vard in that story. It's a true story. The vard in that story is that as Jews, right, we have to really believe on a certain level that we're holding up the world. We have to believe that our Torah and mitzvos hold up the world. If there's not Torah and mitzvos in the world's going to go back to nothingness, to tohu vavohu. The world's going to cease to exist. At the same time, like this crazy fellow, we have to know, come on, are we, I mean, Hashem's holding up the world, not me. Right? But there's a partnership that's taking place. Tzaddikim explain, what's the image of Kafalayim Harkigigis? Why did Hashem, we said, yeah, we want the Torah, Hashem said, but do you understand? The mountain overhead is metaphorically the whole world being suspended overhead. Hashem says, but do you understand the responsibility? What would you do if someone picked something up and was about to drop it on your head? What would you do? You'd pick your hands up to try to block it. So Hashem was forcing the Jewish people at Har Sinai, so to speak, to what? To put their hands up, right? In this image of Ke'ilu, they're holding up the whole world. Now, obviously, it was Hashem who was holding the mountain. Right? And like this person, again, Nebuch, he was convinced that the world's going to collapse without him. Right? So as Jews, for us to imagine that little me, is holding up the whole world, on the one hand, that's delusional. That's absurd. That's insanity. On the other hand, it's true. Hashem wants us to believe that on a certain level it's true. Why? Because our Yadayim are an extension of Hashem's Yadayim. And therefore, Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba, right? When a Jew grasps the Torah and holds onto the Torah and holds stark, it does mitzvos and masim tov in the world and believes that my averos, the things I do, my actions, my Yadayim, my ma'ase yadav, matter in the world, that's a big deal. And that's what Amalek is targeting. Rafu yadeihem min haTorah. It doesn't just say that they caused us to... Rafu yadeihem min haTorah. That the yadayim of a Jew, the actions of a Jew, through Torah and mitzvot, matter in the world. Okay? So, Chavre, this is a very serious taste of the avodah of Purim, the avodah of life. This is how we emerge from Mitzrayim, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I took you out of Mitzrayim. I don't want you to believe what they taught you in Mitzrayim, in the world of Pisum V'Ramses, where everything was falling apart. I don't want you to believe what Amalek espoused, Rafu Yadayim in HaTorah. Right? I want you to wake up every morning and say, Al Netilas Yadayim, to lift up your pure and holy hands and believe that the outstretched hands of a Jew can mamish uphold the world. That's the Var. Okay? Good stuff? Okay, David Tzvi.
Well, how do you make the connection between holding up the world and what that means?
How do you understand the logic of Tosfos? Yeah, Tosfos is the classic explanation of that Gemara, right? Why did Hashem put a mountain overhead? Maybe because even though we said Nasa V'Nishma, we changed our mind. But Tzaddikim explained that, no, the imagery that we're trying to paint here, right? If we already said we want the Torah, but Hashem says, I want you to understand the weightiness of that responsibility. Your Torah is mamish going to hold up the world. Right? When Hashem put the mountain overhead, every Jew put their hands up. So Hashem said, oh, look, take a picture, you know? Hashem took a postcard, a little snapshot of Har Sinai. I said, look, remember that image. You holding up the world. Well, we're not literally holding up the mountain. There's a big gap in between. Hashem says, I'm the gap in between, but we're working together to hold up the world. That's the Vart. Such a powerful image of Kabbalah Satorah. And again, that's the sin. The Amalek is so cynical. They want us to believe that it's so, all our efforts are in vain. It's all for naught. Hayesh Hashem bikirbeinu m'ayin. Does anything I do really matter? Even mitachas ha-shamayim, let alone mi'al ha-shamayim. And we say, yes, it matters here, it matters there. I'm Hashem Shliach. Not kol chivotzim yadi, not my yadayim. Right? Like yodos benazirs, extension, yeah.
That's
right. Your mission, That's right. That's right. Shom tei kuraschem. There you shall be buried. There you shall be buried. That's right. It's a spiritual death. For a Jew to go through life not thinking that he's holding up the world, then he's spiritually dead. It means he's a certain lack of spiritual sensitivity that he has. He has to know his place in the world. Okay?